never fail us, not because of what we do, but because we are His and He is ours. Amen. Amen. We're going to get into the Word this morning. We invite you to turn to your Bibles, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. We'll be looking at verses 36 through 53, and I want to bring a message to you called Easter's Over. Now what? Luke chapter 24, I'm going to read verses 36 through 53. Let's begin with the Word of the Lord together. While they were still talking about this, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they had seen a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And when He had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. And while He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped Him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Lord, speak to us now through Your Word. Challenge us and encourage us. Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to obey You. In Jesus' name, amen. So Easter is over. So now what? I remember as a kid the letdown after Easter was over. There was so much buildup. And you would wake up on Easter morning and my parents would have little Easter baskets filled with candy and goodies and little prizes. And we'd be so excited to eat those things. One year, I won the Easter egg hunt at our church. And the prize for winning the Easter egg hunt was a 2-foot-high solid chocolate bunny. It wasn't hollow like they make them today. No, it was solid. And I remember over the next several days eating that thing, and I probably got sick. I don't remember that part, but ate all of it, and it was wonderful. Well, as we think about Easter and other holidays like this, really, it's not over. In fact, Easter is not over at all, because Easter represents the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's because He rose and then ascended that we actually celebrate Easter, that we celebrate Easter not just one day, but every day of the year. And then as we read the Scripture, we see that He had promised them, when He rose and then ascended, He was going to send them a gift. The gift that the Father had promised, the gift of His indwelling Spirit. And we receive His indwelling Spirit, this gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive it by repentance and believing in Jesus Christ. Well, I want to talk for a few minutes about this issue And the main point of this message is this, that Jesus calls us to repent and believe and then share the message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins through the power of His Spirit. And here's why we want the Holy Spirit. It's because the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And the Holy Spirit transforms us. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit blesses us. He is moving in us and leading us on and showing us how to live this Christian life, how to actually follow Christ in our lives. He gives us a new heart, a new desire. He puts aside and puts under the old man so that we can live in newness of life. But it is, first, a message of repentance. I want to deal with this issue of repentance today. You see, it's not just a message of belief. Knowing Jesus Christ is not just a message of belief, it's also a message of repentance. Jesus began His ministry. We're told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, let's break down these few verses together, and let's see from this passage the things that the Lord wants to show us about what Jesus was saying to us. So, number one, Jesus shows us and shows the disciples that He is alive. Jesus shows the disciples and He shows us that He is alive. We see in verses 39 through 40, He says to them, "Look, I am alive. It is me. Come, put your hands in the nail prints on my hand. Come, put your hand in my side." He says, "It's me. I'm not a ghost." And they're in such astonishment, in such amazement, the scene seems to be that they're standing there with their mouth hanging open. And He asks them, He says, "Do you have any food here to eat?" And they give Him a piece of fish. And so the first meal that Jesus has with the disciples after His resurrection is a fish fry. He has a piece of fish. And He eats it in their presence. He says, "You see, I am not a spirit, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones. He is the risen, living Christ." And He physically reveals Himself to the disciples. Now, He cannot physically reveal Himself to you and me. He's not on the earth any longer. He is ascended, as we just read, back to heaven, back to the Father. But He will reveal Himself to us spiritually. Now, it's still a reality. Even though it's not physical, it is still a reality. He will make Himself real to you and to me. I remember when He revealed Himself to me. When He revealed that He is the real, living Christ. That He is not just a doctrine of the church. He is not just the institution of the church. No, He is the risen Christ. And He revealed Himself to me. And I knew Him as a reality. He is the risen Lord. And He came to live in me by His Spirit. And so I ask you a question. Have you met the living Christ? Has He revealed Himself to you, and have you received Him into your life? Do you know Him as the living Lord? He wants to do that to every one of us. I believe that. I believe He wants to come and live in our lives. He wants to come and show Himself to you and to me, and to make Himself real in the Spirit to you and to me. And so Jesus shows Himself to the disciples, and to us He will continue to reveal Himself to you and to me. You might ask, "Well, how? How will He reveal Himself to me, Pastor?" Well, number one, you have to ask Him. You have to ask Jesus to reveal Himself to you and invite Him into your life, and He will show Himself to you. So, number one, He shows Himself to the disciples and us. Number two, He calls us to repentance. Verse 47, He says, "This message of repentance and forgiveness of sins is going to be preached into all the world." He calls every one of us to repentance. What is it? Repentance is the Greek word metanoia. It simply means a change of mind, a change of thinking. It means that it's a reversal of what I was thinking. It's a reversal of what I was doing, because what I was doing is an outcome of my thinking, of my mind. And metanoia means I have a change of mind. So, what exactly does repentance mean here when Jesus says the message of repentance will be preached? In this context, it means this, that the disciples were to have a change of mind about Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. They were to stop disbelieving in Him. Number one, they were to believe He is alive. He is not dead. He's no longer in the grave. He is not gone. He is alive right there in front of them. Now for them, seeing was believing. For us, we must believe in, even though we don't see, Jesus said, John chapter 20. They were to stop disbelieving that He rose from the dead. Second, they were to stop disbelieving that He was not the Messiah. They were to believe that He was the Messiah, God's Son. He was the promised one, the chosen one. Now, why was this something they had to repent or change their mind or thinking about? It's because they wanted Jesus to be who they wanted Him to be. They wanted Jesus to be this conquering king, this superhero, if you will. They wanted Jesus to come in and right all the wrongs, to administer justice as the new king of Israel. They wanted Him to overthrow the Roman oppressors and to set everything in right order. Now, we understand why that they would believe that, because of the promise that God made to David in 2 Chronicles. He said, there will never be a time when you will not have someone on the throne. And we understand that. That promise is fulfilled in Christ, and it will be completely fulfilled when He returns again in power and honor and glory. But Jesus had said to them over and over again, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And so they were to believe in Him as the Messiah who He claimed to be, the suffering servant, and now the ascended King. So they were to believe in Him. They were to embrace Him and follow Him and repent from what they thought Jesus should be. They were to repent from what they thought Jesus should be doing. Do you remember when Jesus asked His disciples, who do people say that I am? And Peter answered for the disciples. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has revealed this to you, Peter. You are blessed. You are Peter, the rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And immediately, Peter says, oh Lord, you will not suffer. You see, Jesus said, I am going to suffer. I am going to go to Jerusalem. And there, I will be rejected by the Gentiles. The chief priests will arrest me, and I will be crucified. But take heart, on the third day, I will rise from the dead. And Peter begins to rebuke Jesus. He says, Jesus, no, this will never happen to you. And Jesus turns and rebukes Peter. And this is where we get the famous line, get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God. You see, Jesus was who He claimed to be and who God had called Him and had given Him the teaching and the job to do that Jesus kept saying, my Father has given me work to do. Now, the disciples didn't like that. The disciples thought He should be doing something different. And so they needed to repent on what they thought He should be or what they thought He should be doing. Are you getting my point? We often think that Jesus should be doing what we think He should be doing. Jesus, why aren't you taking care of this situation right now? We're all learning a lesson in patience and humility and waiting right now, aren't we? We are having to learn to stop and slow down and take time to truly listen. And this is a wonderful time to listen to what God is saying to you and to me. You see, very often we have in our mind a preconceived idea of what Jesus should be doing, what he should be doing in my life, what he should be doing in the world. And when things don't go our way, things don't go well the way we want them to, we're like, Lord, what's up with this? Why aren't you doing this? Lord, how could you allow these terrible disasters to be happening? Lord, how could you allow this terrible coronavirus to be devastating the world? Lord, how could you allow these tornadoes to be happening down in the south? Lord, how could you allow these terrible thunderstorms to be rolling through and damaging people's properties? How could this be, Lord? And you know what? God feels no compulsion to answer you and me. But He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And so repentance means they had to change their attitude towards Jesus. They had to change their mindset towards Jesus. For us, it means the same thing. Jesus is not our big genie in the sky. Jesus is not here to serve our every pleasure and will and desire. No, He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And we bow the knee to Him, our sovereign King. And we ought to be listening to what God is saying to us, what the Spirit is speaking to us at this time. So they had to change their attitude. We need to change our attitude. Amen? Repentance is not just initial. It's ongoing. We're going to see in a minute. And so, if you're here today and maybe you had preconceived ideas about God and about Jesus, I invite you and challenge you. Read God's Word. Read the Gospels and see what Jesus had to say about who He is, why He had come, and what His mission is now. There are very many times that we have to change our attitude towards ourself, towards sin, towards God, towards Christ, just like the disciples did. We have to repent. And that means turning away from what we thought was right and correct and true in our own minds and be corrected by the truth of God's Word. We must repent. Harry Ironsides was a wonderful preacher of the last century. And he gave this definition of repentance. To repent is to change one's attitude towards sin, towards self, towards God, and towards Christ. It is only through Christ that we can take full advantage of God's mercy and grace through repentance. And God is not looking for repayment, but rather repentance. God is not looking for repayment. He is looking for repentance. God is not interested for you to do something for Him. You and I can do nothing for God. But He is interested in you and I repenting, changing our mind, getting our mind lined up with the Word of God so that we are operating in truth and in the way that He wants us to operate. So, my dear brother and sister, stop striving. You don't have to strive for God's grace. Stop working as if you're trying to deserve God's grace. You and I cannot deserve God's grace. Stop groveling as if you have to make up for some sins that you've committed. No, the sins are done away with. They were nailed to the cross with Christ. It's a finished work. It is finished. All of our sins upon Him were laid. He paid the price for our sins. This is how forgiveness of sins comes to them and to us. It's how you lay hold of the grace of God and the mercy of God. You see, Jesus teaches them. He begins to open their minds. He says, the Messiah was prophesied to suffer and die from our sins, verse 46, and be raised from the dead on the third day. This is not what they wanted. This is not what they thought. But now they have to repent and believe. So they and we are to turn away from unbelief, belief in ourselves or anything else that we might be believing in, be devoted to, and turn to faith in Christ. We know Jesus preached this many, many, many times, and we're told in the Scripture that when Jesus preached this claim, many turned away from Him and would no longer follow Him. Why? Because it's a hard teaching. Jesus said, you have to die to yourself. You have to die to yourself and follow Me. That's repentance. I am turning away from myself because apart from God's grace, myself is wicked and full of sin. So the essential element in repentance, watch this. The essential element in repentance is to turn away from unbelief and turn away from self-control to Christ control. Jesus calls us to repentance. He calls us to be His follower. He calls us to obey Him and live under His lordship. But we cannot do that without His grace, without Him opening our minds, and without the power of the Holy Spirit. This has always been the way of God's salvation. Isaiah 30, verse 15, and repentance and rest is your salvation. And repentance and rest is your salvation. So, number one, Jesus showed them He was alive. Number two, He called them and calls us to repentance. Number three, we read in verses 44 through 45, Jesus had to open their minds to understand who He was and what He had done. He says to them, this is what the law and the prophets and the Psalms say about the Messiah. And when He says that, that's referring to all of the Old Testament Scriptures, the whole of the Scriptures. And He says, this is what the whole of the Scriptures said about Me, the Messiah. Now, He told them this because repentance comes when we understand the truth and that what we were thinking is not lined up with the truth. I hope that makes sense. Repentance comes when we understand the truth and therefore we see what I was thinking, my mind, what was in my mind is not lining up with what the truth is. What they believed about the Messiah was not lining up with what Jesus was showing them. He opened their minds. Well, Jesus did that for them. Watch this. Now, His indwelling Spirit does this work in us. This is why they and we need the Spirit's empowering. And He says to them, wait. See, here's the truth of it. When we come face to face with ourselves, we understand very, very clearly that we need a Savior. When we finally become honest with ourselves and we see ourselves for who we truly are and the sin that we have, we understand how much we need a Savior. We understand how much we need God's Spirit within us to open our mind and lead us in truth and enlighten us to what He is saying. So the disciples had to wait now because Jesus says, wait, stay in the city and wait. And as I ascend, I'm going to send you the gift that My Father promised, and the Spirit is going to come and come in His fullness, and they are to wait for this, because then, and only then, would they have the power of the indwelling Spirit. Then they would be able to understand the truth in its fullness. Then they would be able to be witnesses and take this message to the world. And so Jesus says, wait. Now listen, if the disciples who were with Jesus for 3 years, if they needed to wait and they needed the indwelling Spirit to do what Jesus was calling them to do, who do we think we are when we think we can do this without God's Spirit, that we can walk this walk, that we can live this Christian life, that we can live a life that pleases God, that's obedient to His Word? Who do we think we are if we don't have His Spirit? We need the Spirit of God and His fullness. And He wants to give it to us. He wants to give us the fullness of His Spirit, not just one day, but every day. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes in fulfillment of this promise, and He fills them with Christ and His fullness, His power. He's the Spirit of Christ within them. And we have the privilege of Christ's Spirit coming to live in us, who then does the transforming. Indeed, He actually enables us to repent. And if we receive Jesus Christ, it says that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work within us. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. God's Spirit comes to live in us. And He opens our minds. He leads us into repentance because He transforms our mind. If you haven't truly repented of your unbelief, of your sins, of yourself, then you will struggle terribly trying to live the Christian life in your own flesh, in your own strength. But you don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. I can invite Christ in and invite His Spirit to take control and give me His fullness every day. So, have you truly repented? Have you put your faith in Christ so that He can give you His indwelling Spirit? If you haven't done that, what are you waiting for? Receive Christ and receive this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. You can pray a prayer, a very simple prayer. It's simple, but it's not simplistic. It is beautiful, but it's not cheap. It doesn't cost you anything, but it was very costly. It cost Christ His life. He gave His life. He shed His blood for your sin and my sin. And so you can pray this prayer. You can say, God, thank You for loving me. And thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die for my sins on the cross. I believe that He rose from the dead. You raised Him from the dead. And Lord, I invite Jesus to come into my life by His Spirit. Come in and live. I repent of my sin and myself. I want Jesus to live in me, and I want to follow Him all of my life. I pray this in Your name, Lord. Amen. If you'll pray a prayer like that, if you prayed that right then, please let us know so that we can pray for you. And if you haven't prayed that prayer, we encourage you to consider your relationship with Christ and reach out to Him. Jesus will show Himself to you. He will reveal Himself to you. Well, what follows next, number four, quickly. What follows next is Jesus is called to them to be His witnesses. Verse 48, He says, now this message of repentance and forgiveness of sins is going to be preached into the whole world. In Matthew chapter 28, He says, now that authority, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, go now therefore and make disciples of all nations, all peoples. This is what the disciples do. Well, guess what? We're called to the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, 20 and 21, it tells us that we are now therefore Christ's ambassadors. It is as though God was speaking through us. And here's the message. Be reconciled to God. So the call to the be witnesses comes to them, and the same call is the message of repentance that we are given, that we fulfill, that we follow, rather, and that we then share this message with those around us. Number five, and we're coming in for a landing. Repentance is not just a one-time deal. It's not once and done. But rather, repentance is continual. It's how I live and walk the Christian life. Why? Because God is continually showing me where I'm wrong. Our mind and our thinking is so fleshly. It's so bound up sometimes with ourself. And it does not line up with the Word of God. And we're actually told by Paul in Romans chapter 8 that the flesh, the old me, cannot please God. It does not want to please God. Rather, it wants to do what it wants to do. So, repentance is continual. Let me show you this in the Scripture. Revelation chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Now, this is the church that the people in Sardis that had followed Jesus. They were doing well, but Jesus calls them to repentance anyway. So, Revelation chapter, I think I have that scripture right. I'm going to read it here from what I have written down because I may not have the reference correct. It says this, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. You see this? Repent and do the things you did at first. Do you remember? Jesus commended them. He said, you're doing well. You're not tolerating immoral people. You're not tolerating false prophets and false apostles. But I have this against you. You've forsaken your first love. You have forsaken the love that you are to have for me, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. First and foremost, amen? That's what we are to do. And Jesus says to them, consider how you have fallen from this. Now, as Jesus says that, I can hear those Christians, just like it would be with us today. We'd be like, what? Lord, I haven't fallen from loving you. And Jesus would say to them, and Jesus says to us, watch this. He says, yes, you have. You love other things. You don't love me like you should. You have not given me the devotion and the love that I alone deserve. You love other things. And this is why he says, repent and do the first works. Do the works of loving me that you did at first. You see, you and I can't receive that in the natural, in ourselves. We have to receive that by revelation. We have to allow Jesus to open our mind and say, yes, Tom, I am not loving the Lord the way that I should. He's not my first love. I'm loving other things. And Jesus says to them, repent. And he says to you and me, if we're loving other things, if we're putting other things first, repent. Have a change of mind and have a change of action and outcome because of your mind being changed and transformed. Repent and turn to me as you did at first. So repentance is the path that brings forgiveness, and it's the path that brings empowerment. It's the beginning and the continuation of this walk with Jesus. We walk with Jesus after Easter. He's not left last week when we left Easter Day. No, it's the beginning of this walk, and we live in repentance. And when we do that, it brings the fullness of Christ's Spirit in our lives. That's why Paul says, be being filled. In other words, be ongoingly filled with the Holy Spirit. And in order to do that, we have to repent daily of self-control so that we are Christ-controlled. Because to be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the indwelling Spirit of Christ. And He leads us, and He walks with us. Even out on those deep waters, when the waves are crashing around us, He is the one that is leading us and guiding us, holding our hand, and He will never fail us. Amen. Well, we're going to bring the band back in.